welcome to this week's podcast, and we've got lots of exciting things to talk about, particularly our mother lines. And so this is kind of, you know, something we really got to concentrate on because that's half our tree, isn't it? So my name's Helen Tovey. I'm editor of Family Tree, and with me is
Nathan Ward. Hello there.
Hello. So the reason I want to talk about our mother lines is because you've got in the UK Mothering Sunday coming up really soon, but it's just relevant the whole time, isn't it? Imagine being a tree. People used to do this. They used to just concentrate on their dad's surname line and then miss out the whole rest of the tree.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've obviously gone to my tree and I thought I would be all about my father's line. And actually, just looking back on it, I've barely touched it. I've gone straight to my mum's line and followed that. I don't know why. But anyway, it's good because that's what you want to talk about. So I'm there.
I think men are quite lucky, aren't they? Because you have your surname, so you could just be in the pub or you go to the dentist or someone goes, oh, Ward, I've got a Ward in my family. Or you know, you can easily strike out that connection. Whereas lots of women take their husband's name on getting married, even today in the 21st century, and then suddenly we're like incognito.
Yeah, that's true. Though I have to say, like when I'm doing my research, or when I have been doing my research, I find... I guess the sort of the male line, it is like Ward, whatever. I enjoy finding the other names. So the female surnames are much more interesting because it's like, well, I didn't know that was in my family. And like I found a Scottish name and all that sort of stuff. So I find that really interesting and more fun. It's like, oh, wow, that's a really cool name. It's cool.
Mm. And when you're, as you say, when you're doing the research and you're working back methodically, good boy, just like you should do, kind of working back generation by generation, building up all those clues, then you can be confident that you found the right people because you're working back from a known piece of information to an unknown piece. But sometimes it can be really hard when we're trying to trace mother lines, let's say if we're doing DNA research, because you might look down your list of DNA matches and there's a whole bunch of people's names who you just don't recognise because of this blooming name-changing situation.
Yeah, I guess it's harder work, isn't it? Because you need to establish... I can't actually get the signs in my head right. If you're doing your mother's mother, you need to know the husband as well, don't you?
Mm.
Brought them into that line.
Because every generation has a new name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of so obvious, but when you've got to start dealing with it, you're like, ooh.
I like it.
I had a really lucky win this morning and I was actually doing work. So a reader emailed in and they said, I don't know what's going on, but when I click on hints with Ancestry, I get a message popping up going, something went wrong. And this problem keeps persisting with this person. Every time they try and look at their hints, review the hint and then add the information to their tree, Ancestry pops up this message going, something went wrong. So I boldly said, not a problem, I'll help you, even though I wasn't sure of the answer at the time. So I better find out about the answer. So did a bit of Googling and then I thought I'll go on my own tree. And probably people who don't know us, they probably think, lucky them, they work on a family history publication. They must spend the whole time doing their family tree. Where we're at work, we just don't ever get the chance. Anyway, do we?
No.
Because I had to check out the hint situation for this reader, I went on my tree and I just was looking, and I never normally look at the hints because I'm a right little hint snob and I'm like, nope, I'm going to do it all by myself. So I looked at my hints and there at the top of the hints was a hint for James Pickering. And even you, who've probably fallen asleep every time I mentioned Mary Ann Pickering, that woman who I've tried to trace, I was like, oh, that's her dad. And so I clicked on the link to read about the hint and see what I thought of it and see if I could add it to my tree, if I thought it was correct. But the intriguing thing was the name of the person whose tree it was. I'm not going to say their full name, but their name is Janet. And I was like, I know this person, because about 3 years ago, we did a DNA course. And every year we do lots of DNA courses, DNA masterclasses. We have experts speaking about them. They're really good fun. We all, as the course goes on, we get to know the students because we're all kind of sharing our DNA discoveries that we've made on the courses and in the talks and in the chat at the end of the talks. So this woman's name was like really obvious to me. And I was peering at her little tiny profile picture. I was like, I think this is her. This is Janet, who is on that course. And she's a really lovely reader. So I pinged off a message to her, but Janet, I think you did the DNA course. And I was like, afterwards, I said, oh, too much information. If it's not the right Janet, she'll go, who's this weirdo? But what the interesting thing is, so I met this Janet on a DNA course and she has a surname, which obviously I knew from her what her surname is, but I have no connection that I knew to this surname because of their mother's line always changing the whole time. Right. So it's a completely brand new surname to me that I just literally hadn't got a clue about. And because our connection's so distant, we don't actually match on DNA. So we've both been beavering away the last 10, 20, 30 years doing our family history. We've both got our family trees. We've built up and built up with all these side branches and everything else, just like you need to do DNA research. So our trees match up, but we're not. I never would have found her if I was solely looking on my DNA list, because we, the segments have got tiny and tinier breadcrumbs down through the generation. So we don't actually share any DNA, but I met her because of DNA. And now I've met her because of a blooming hint, and I never look at hints. They're just like, what the heck is going on with family history? It's like a massive contradictions.
That's really confusing. The DNA thing baffles me there a bit. Like, it's so distant that it just doesn't register. Is that what you're saying?
Because, well, it's not that it doesn't register. So imagine if you think about it in colours. So imagine your mum is purple and green, and imagine your dad is blue and orange, and then they jumble up their things and they give you a little bit of each of those four colours. So you're now a mixture of purple and green and blue and orange. And then you meet a woman, you have a baby with her, but she has different colours. And this keeps going on. So as the generations go down, sometimes you're only going to get half your dad's DNA and half your mum's DNA. So you're only going to get at some point, those little fragments won't get inherited. They're in those half, there's going to be lots and lots of colours, and you're not going to get some of the colours. I've explained that badly. It's because you're only getting half each time. So
you haven't. I get that. You've said something similar before. It makes sense. Yeah. It's diluting, and you're getting bits that they don't have.
Yeah. So this is the cool thing. If you have four children, apparently, you can reconstitute the parents' DNA. So if you had three siblings, you and your three siblings could all do a DNA test, and between you all, you'd reconstitute your parents' DNA, like you would represent all of the segments. But if you only have two siblings, and even if you and your two siblings all have children, not all of the DNA is going to get, of the parents' DNA, is going to get passed on down to the grandchildren.
That's really interesting.
It quickly gets lost, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. I know I am.
You're lost.
Yeah, I'm joking. No, that did make sense.
Yeah, anyway, let's not get off topic. So we're trying to think about...
Can we go back a bit, though? You said you just liked a hint. You didn't like hints.
I know.
Look at you now. You'll be getting a tattoo next.
I know.
Give me a DNA hint.
It made me realise... So I'm particularly snobbish about hints for other people's trees. And it's not that I think anyone else has got it wrong and I've got it right, because I definitely do make big, fat, whopping mistakes. But it's more just that pride of, like, I want to do it myself. And so that's why I don't normally, if I do look at hints, I might look at hints for records, but I can't remember when I last time looked at hints on somebody else's tree.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's like, again, I keep prattling on about it, but like me not wanting to look at my mum's research and do it myself, even though I am using hints, but it's that search and find, isn't it? It's doing it for yourself and the excitement factor of it.
I think that's one of the kind of complex and weird things about family history, is that it can mean so many different things and be rewarding in so many different ways. Even if it's just like the puzzle brain, you just love solving puzzles. And
yeah. Oh, it is, isn't it? I love that feeling. It's so exciting.
Anyway, back to the mother line thing. So you're really enjoying finding these new names. I think they're giving you a bit of a richer sense of your ancestral kind of heritage. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. It's just fun, isn't it? I've got nothing behind what I'm trying to say, but I just like finding new names. So obviously the mother line's really cool for that. And I don't know how diluted I've not really got my head around it all, but how diluted it becomes. But it's like, yeah, I'm related to this name and that name, and I don't know, just following the ward line. Yeah, I'm a ward. I've known that ever since I was born. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of straightforward, that bit, whereas the mother line, it's like, oh, this is cool. I like this name. And then you've got a whole other branch and you're totally lost. Great.
I like your enthusiasm. I think I've become a bit old and grumpy because, you know, when I had to lop that branch off my tree and then I lost a surname, and I've now got a new surname that I'm not familiar with. I still haven't quite come to terms with that new surname from like 150 years ago. I don't feel comfortable with it yet. It feels a bit like if it was around my house, I'd still having to be on best behaviour and give it a poster for its cup of tea and everything.
Nice. So what's going to change your opinion of it then? Is it just...
I think I just need to do more research around it, and then kind of it will embed it in my heart and I'll be fine with it. Yeah.
Right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because I honestly haven't made a conscious decision to go down the mother line, but I guess the stories that I've been told, I guess that's the reason. The stories I've been told have been from my mum, so it's becoming from her side of the family. So I've followed those stories as opposed to my dad's side, which I've got no information on. So I guess that makes sense.
Mm. That's back to my hint person. So Janet, the hint person. So if I've got this right, and if she's got it right, she is a descendant of my 3x great granny, Mary Ann Pickering. So she's another descendant of her. So Mary Ann Pickering was the poor child who had to unpick her sewing when she was about 11 or 12, because she wasn't really called Pickering. And I would just love to know if that family story has got passed down Janet's line as well, because that would be incredible if we both had this tragic story getting passed on. And I'm not entirely sure it would have done, like it could have done, but mine is very much my mother line. And then it just like a generation. So up to my great granny, that's all direct female line. And then it stops being a direct feed on our line, to get back to this Mary Ann Pickering. But we're the family who've got the sewing, which has got the name unpicked. So we've got that prompt to remind everyone to keep telling the story. So we've got the story, you know, it keeps being told. I've told you the blooming story millions of times now. It's like one of our big stories. Yeah.
Yeah. I've shared it with people as well.
You haven't.
No, I haven't. Made it my own.
But now I've got a little granddaughter. This is my first granddaughter. So I now, I find this blows my mind talking about mother line. So I know my granddaughters. I knew my granddaughter's 3x great granny. So when my little granddaughter's older, I'll be able to tell her stories about her 3x great granny that I can remember. And I've got stories which my great granny told me about when my great granny was a baby. And so I can tell my granddaughter stories about her own 3x great granny when her own 3x great granny was a baby. That's cool living history, isn't it?
That is. That's crazy generational stuff, isn't it? Yes. I can't even comprehend what time scale is that then?
It's not actually that long, because our family have children in their 20s. So it only goes back to the 1890s. But it still sounds cooler, doesn't it?
It's really cool. It's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the stories is that my great granny threw her doll, or dropped her doll, overboard when she's travelling back with her mum and dad when she's just a little toddler. She's on a big ship travelling back from South Africa to England, and she dropped her doll overboard by mistake. What can you say to that, Nathan?
Wow, I was waiting for a follow-up. I was waiting for a follow-up where the doll octopus saw, and then somebody
there isn't a follow-up. That was it. That was the punchline.
A reader found this doll and sent a letter.
Yeah. Bobbing around. It was short somewhere.
I recognise that doll.
Yeah. So let's concentrate. So let's say we kind of know why we need to trace all our mother lines, don't we? Because otherwise, we're only going to be, we've got one direct mother line, haven't we? But at every set, so you've got your direct father line, direct mother line, then there's all those other branches in between, each of which have their own kind of sub-paternal line, which have runs of surnames, don't they? But they have, on your mother line, it's always changing. All of those mother lines are always changing their surname. So we need to be really aware of them if we want to be doing DNA research.
Yeah.
So our DNA matches are going to have a patchwork of these names in them.
It's talking about it makes it more confusing than actually doing it. I find. Like my mum's mum, that's the mother line, and her mum is still the mother line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is stupid, and I know I'm going to say it out loud. My mum's mum's mum is no relation to my granddad. Never mind. Cut that.
No, I didn't think cut it. I think you're right. It is confusing about where people...
It's just because there's always a male and the male is the married in name, isn't it? I think that's what I'm saying. The male name is where you get your married name from, or your birth name, should I say, but it comes from the man.
Mm.
So the woman marries, say, like, for me, like, Maggie Nelson marries Bernard Saville. So Maggie Nelson's on the mother line, but her daughter is instantly called Saville.
Mm.
It's obvious and it's silly. That
it's not. I like the way you've said that you've got your direct mother line and then the male surnames get married into it. Because that's, yeah, I like it. It's like, it's the mother line calling the shots again. No, we're the mother line. You just hopped on our line with your random surname.
Girl power.
Yeah, girl power to the mother line, definitely. So let's say you were trying to trace female line ancestors. Have you done any of this and have you found it confusing or how have you gone about?
I think mine's all accidental at the moment, or just because I've been doing it layer by layer of the grandparents and then the great-grandparents, etc. I've been looking for parent figures of the person before, so it's kind of naturally appeared. Mm. Haven't thought about it. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So it hasn't become an issue yet because I'm not trying to trace them back solely on that mother line. It's because I'm getting each stack, I'm looking for two parents all the time.
Mm.
Is that answering your question?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get a feel for how you felt about it. Because it can feel confusing. So let's say you find a child and you've got the parents' names, or that you've got the dad's full name and you have the mother's first name, but you only know her, the name that she's married by. And then you're like thinking, right, so how am I going to trace you back? And how am I going to learn more about you? And how am I going to establish that the Mary, let's say on the 1871 census, married to Joseph, is still the same Mary on the 1881 census, and one Mary hasn't died and we've got another Mary because the women are kind of hidden there by their married surname.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I had an element of that when I was searching for my Auntie Mildred. I didn't, until we did the research, I didn't know what her maiden name was. She was always a Nelson. And so finding her, actually, this is exactly what you're saying, bringing her into the family was harder because I didn't know apart from the first name, I didn't know who I was looking for because I wasn't going to find her as a Nelson. Well, until she was married.
You kind of got half a clue, haven't you? And then you had to do lots of checks and balances to make sure that your half clue does properly dovetail with the new bit of information that you've got, which is her birth surname.
Yeah, definitely. And like, for that one, because I actually knew my Auntie Mildred, it was easier to retain that information when I was searching. Whereas I'm sure when I get further back or I research somebody I don't know, it's keeping that in mind. Like, this is the person I'm looking for. And like, it's easy to scroll through and find the word Mildred because I'm looking for it, as opposed to, I don't know, someone's married a Margaret and I'm looking for a Margaret, but I've got no natural link to the future because I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I think you do get more fond of people and you do, I don't know whether we should do or not, but I think lots of family historians, we do get hunches about things because you get to know your family quite well, even to the extent you might go, no, they would never have called one of their kids that. Look at the rest of their kids' names. That's a real curveball. And obviously you have to prove or disprove it, but you do get feelings about what's plausible.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
It is dangerous to think like that, but equally, I think you don't want to dismiss it. You are humans. Like, we have instincts as well.
True. And it's nice to get excited and think you've got the clue and you're on with it. And
yes. Yeah. But yeah.
So you have to lop that branch off later on.
Yes. Yes. Imagine being that stupid. So I love thinking about women's names. I think it's really important that we do, like, we both of us have talked about the family stories that get passed down the mother line, but this is really important because quite often when we're looking at our maternal lines, then they are so, the details about them are so scant in the records, so they've got their obscure names or their names which have been obscured by the way, you know, marriage names and and lack of names of women being recorded on records. Quite often, even if they had a job, their jobs aren't recorded. And let's say if you have two, you know, have a man by a popular name, his occupation can be really, really helpful to help you identify you have got the right person by that name, going, oh, I know his line of work. It can help give you clues to rule things in and out. Whereas women, even if they worked, quite often see it on the census all the time. There'd just be a gap where their occupation, the little box for their occupation, even if they worked, still have it because of Victorian sensibilities that right. The man should be earning all the bread. So you don't have any clues about their occupation to help you check you got the right person?
Yeah, I guess like a marriage certificate is the strongest thing, isn't it? Because until that, well, unless you've got other clues, until that point, you don't know who that person is.
Mm.
So if you're on the census and they're living with their husband, they'll have the married name, won't they? So that stops until you have the marriage certificate.
Yeah, I think the marriage certificate's really useful. And also I think the birth records of their children are really useful. So if you go back to really old parish registers, quite often the mum won't be mentioned. It will just say, Nathan had a child.
Yeah, the man did all the work, of course.
Yes. And there literally won't even be a mention of the fact that the child had a mother. And then, but when we get it into more recent times, then the mothers get mentioned. And then when we get into civil registration, so the birth certificates, then obviously clearly the mothers are mentioned. So they can be really helpful because you can trace lots, you trace the whole run of children. And Sophie Kay's really good about this. She explains about how we need to think about, on the whole, if you're talking through eras before contraception, it's helpful to look for a child to consider. There's very likely to be a child every 2 years through the mother's early middle-aged adulthood.
Yeah.
And so that can help you kind of track down the whereabouts of the mother, yeah, and help you make sure you've got the right person.
I mean, that's just a crazy concept in itself, a child every 2 years.
Mm. And if there's a gap, why? Like, was the husband away? Was she ill? Was there a baby which got born but maybe was stillborn and so not recorded in the records?
Yeah. Is it conventional wisdom or whatever, current wisdom? You just don't think about these things like contraception. It's just an everyday occurrence now, whereas terrifying. You're just going to have children all the time.
Yes. And then you'll find that sometimes you'll find great-great-grandmothers or whatever, and having children at kind of fairly unfeasibly old ages. So they might be having a child when they're 50 and you go, that's kind of quite unusual. And then it will transpire that when you dig down into the records a bit more, that probably wasn't their child, it's one of their older daughter's children.
Right.
Being kind of brought up by them for politeness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Wow. That is crazy though, isn't it, as well?
Mm.
I was reading a story about Jack Nicholson was brought up by his grandmother.
Yeah.
And his sister was actually his mother.
That's what exactly the situation, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's just bonkers, and he didn't know until after the death, apparently. But
no, and also you think, you always imagine people living in small communities, so you think, why bother to go to that kind of subterfuge, because everyone in the little town is going to know, so just don't bother with it.
Yeah, just to confuse us all.
Yes, yeah, and it does.
Yeah, they'll be laughing, like, years and years ago, they'll be like, in years to come, they'll be doing family history, let's just confuse the crap out of them.
Yes. Oh.
We'll all pretend we're all each other's mothers and brothers and sisters.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's back to DNA again. That's a funny thing. So although we might, when we're looking at the paper trail record, we might go, oh, it's really hard. We can't identify which their surnames are. It's confusing. I'm not sure I've got the right person. But the chances are, apart from when you've got those grandmother-mother situations, then the mother on the birth certificate is the mother. But then when you're doing DNA, that's when it kind of tends to be the father lines which get thrown into question.
Right.
Surprises, isn't it? So now it's the turn for the father line to be the lines of frustration, I guess.
Right, okay. So do you have any advice, Ellen, then, for following the mother line? Like, obviously, I've just said what I do, which isn't doing anything in particular. Is there a structure or something I should follow?
Yes, I guess there is a structure. There's a few things you can do. There's a few places you can look for clues, and there's also a few tactics. So back to your Excel sheet, and you might like this. Then, so your Excel sheet, you've carefully added all of the lines, haven't you? All of your great-great-grandfathers and all of your great-great-grandmothers. So you're doing really good on that front to make sure you've got those direct lines. So you can see clear as day when you haven't got some of those maternal ancestors. It doesn't matter if you haven't got them. I mean, half the battle is just having a record of what you haven't or haven't got. And then when you do a research session, you know what you can look at. So you can gradually build out all of these names. So not just your direct maternal line, but, you know, all of the female partners in the relationships, because then you can help with your DNA, as I keep saying, and then also build those generations forward and you know, marry off people as you're going forward and find their children and marry off them and go forward, because these are going to be adding in, you're going to be weaving new surnames in going forward in time, which is going to help with your DNA. Did I say that before?
No, you never mentioned it.
Never mentioned that. So that's going to be helpful. And then, yes, definitely you mentioned about marriage certificates. So that is helpful for confirming the bride's surname. And I definitely think make sure you've traced all their children. And this kind of, it goes hand in glove with me saying tracing all those sideways branches. So finding each woman, all of the children that each woman had, will help you with building your sideways branches, but it will also help you learn about the woman and learn about her life. You know, it makes a huge difference to a woman whether you've just had one or two children or 10 children. And it's not necessarily in the past, not necessarily be a happy situation if you've only had two children. Maybe you're suffering from ill health of some kind. Maybe your husband's away at sea for huge swathes of time and you're struggling by yourself. So, but you're learning about their lives by learning about the children they didn't have in, and when we're talking in eras where women's occupations are poorly recorded.
Yeah, I get, like you were saying earlier, it's like a timeline almost, isn't it? If they're not having a child every 2 years, like you just say, and then it's like, what were they doing?
Yes, so that's what I'd recommend. And I do think our mothers' lines are, I think maybe it's because in the past our mothers, you know, they would be hanging around with the little children over the generations, maybe not now, because, you know, many of us, like me included, as a working mum right from when my kids were tiny. But in the past, it would be the mums who are at home kicking around the kitchen, telling them what their granny did. And so you get the stories passed on. I don't know. So, Nathan, we haven't really talked about your family history, so I'd be interested to catch up with that next week then.
Yes, definitely. I've had a maintenance week this week, whilst we were discussing getting me a bit of structure, because I'm so very busy. I've been looking, making sure that my research log's up to date, which, because I've not done as much diving, it's been so focused on Edward and his war stories, I haven't had that much to put in there. But it was just making sure that I kept that up to date. So not really done any progress stuff this week, but next week will be a progress week, so I should hopefully have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and I like the idea of your maintenance. I need to do some maintenance. It's so much easier to do it as you go along rather than try and have a big bash later. It's never going to work retrospectively.
No, it really is hard work. Like now, I feel guilty about it. I know you're going to tell me off. So I'm like, oh, I've got to fill it in. And then I'm like, oh my God, I can't remember why I've done this or where that's come from. Luckily, I can listen back to the podcast and find out what I was talking about sometimes. So that helps. Cheating, I know, but whatever. Yeah, and we need to find out about Marianne Pickering as well.
We do. So I can quickly tell you about her. So I've been continuing to gather the Pickerings of Shropshire, and that's where my, the hint person who I talked about at the beginning of this talk, that's how I kind of stumbled across her. So there aren't that many Pickerings, which is exciting. And so I'm identifying all the different places where they're living, all the different communities of Pickerings in the county. And I'm hoping this is going to help me locate my Marianne as a child, because she's gone AWOL for a bit.
Right. So is that your homework then? Are we going to hear from you with that next week, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. I'm on with it.
Nice.
Yep.
Pitch. I'll keep on at you.
Yes, do. And I'll be so excited if I hear back from Janet as well. That would just be amazing. Yeah.
Nice. I've got a question for you. This is a bit random now. Chocolate. Do you keep it in the fridge or out of the fridge?
You're not in the fridge.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly disagree with you there. always in the fridge.
Maybe your house is warmer than our house.
That's true, that's true. It's not, but I just wonder, you know, like looking at the DNA character traits and all that stuff, I keep chocolate in the fridge. My mum keeps chocolate in the fridge. And I noticed the other day that my son keeps chocolate in the fridge. So I wondered if that's a DNA.
Maybe. I think it depends what chocolate you're eating. Because I like the really big Toblerones. And they're really hard to break off the triangle anyway, even when it's not at fridge temperature. I just think I'd have to get a hammer out otherwise if I kept it in the fridge.
Yeah. Or some spare teeth, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Lost with Toblerone. I'll agree with you with Toblerone. But the rest of it, in the fridge all the time. I'm gonna write to Ancestry. They can put it as a trait, a DNA match.
Yes. Where do you keep your chocolate?
More likely to keep chocolate in the fridge.
And do you like chocolate with bits in? And if so, why do you like chocolate with bits in?
I do. I'm quite a sensory person, so yeah, I like a nice smooth texture and then a little bit of crunch. You know, ooh, what's that? Oh, it's Dime Bar or a bit of digestive, for example. Yeah, I like a good mixture. If I'm honest, I'll just eat anything with chocolate in it, to be honest.
I've got a trick question for you as well. Do you know what the difference between a Star Bar and a Boost is? Because I've been doing a survey recently. I keep forgetting, so I keep having to retest myself.
I've never heard of a Star Bar.
Haven't you?
No. A Boost. Do you know what? I ate a Boost the other day, and I was enjoying it so much, I didn't want to know what was in it. I was like, I love this, but I never want to know what's actually in it. You know, what is that stuff in the middle? Don't tell me, because I don't want to know. I know it's got like caramel in it and then biscuits and whatever, but that stuff on the inside, I don't know. So anyway, sorry, go on, Star Bar.
Same as a Boost, apart from it has peanuts.
Right.
As far as I can work out.
Well, that sounds quite nice. Where do you get these Star Bars from?
From the petrol station near my daughter's house.
Right, all right. So it's not like an American...
No, it is. It's a massive company. That's where I buy them from. You have them all over the place.
I've never heard of it. It sounded like an...
I'm going to have to get you one. I'll get you one and give it to you next time I see you.
Yes.
You'll love it.
Best podcast ever.
Yes.
I've got some chocolate out of it.
Yes. Oh, well, have a happy time researching, everybody, and good luck with tracing those mother lines. Even if they're difficult, we all know it. They're well worth it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, then.
Thanks for listening. See you later.